This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Gilbert Kelly of New City Church, located in Fairburn and Peachtree City, Georgia. For more information, please visit us at newcitychurch.net.
But that last question goes into one thing that is going to be extremely important. One thing that we will be talking about today, but before we get there, I think it's important for you to understand that we've been in a peace series for New City Church. So Pastor Gilbert started this series off by talking about perseverance and the importance of that in this new year and this new decade. Then last week, he talked about prayer, which is going to be really important for this new year and this new decade. So Passion Student Ministries is taking over today. I know you said we didn't have to jump into your series, but I'm going to jump into your series. That's just the type of person that I am. I jump in where I fit in. And we are actually going to be talking about passion in the process. You can put that slide up. Passion in the process. Let's actually go back a week and let's begin with prayer. If you could all bow your heads, close your eyes really quickly. Dear Lord, thank you for who you are. I thank you for what you're doing in today's service. I thank you that my words will be clear. I thank you that it'll be well received, that it wouldn't be my words, but your words coming through me, that I'm just your vessel. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you could turn to Hebrews 12:1, it's in the New Testament, very popular passage of Scripture. In Hebrews 12:1, I'm going to go ahead and begin. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Let's put a pin in that. We're going to come back to that statement a little bit later in the message. But I think it's really important that every time I speak, that you guys come to the understanding, I try to give you context on where this message came from. So let me give you a little bit of context. Where did this message originate? Last year, Passion Student Ministries, all year, we talked about one thing, voices. We figured out that the voices you listen to determine the future that you experience. So we tried to make sure that each and every single one of our students were able to recognize the different voices that were always bombarding them. That may be the voice of anger, the voice of unforgiveness, the voice of pain, the voice of trauma. That may be the voice of, we didn't just talk about the negative, we actually talked about the fruits of the Spirit as well. We talked about the voice of forgiving people, the voice of love. How can we have that be the voice that we portray to others? And it was good. It was life-changing, in fact. But when the leaders started to get together and we were talking, we decided that was a great foundation, but we needed to build upon that. How can we build upon that? But let's talk about the most interesting and the greatest person to ever live. Ashley, I'm not talking about you right now. I know I love you, but you're not the best person to ever live. I'm not talking about Chuck Norris. I'm not talking about, this one may be a little controversial, but I'm not talking about the Dos Equis guy, the most interesting man in the world. I'm not even talking about Pastor Gilbert. He's great, but there's someone who lived a long time ago that was so much better. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. So for this year, every single thing that Passion Student Ministries does, every message, everything that we look to will be focused on Jesus Christ. And our year-long series that we like to title, Just Jesus. Because I think it's important for us to realize we can't become like someone that we don't even know. Too many of us, what I realize, especially after we've lived this life for a little bit, it scares me that we begin to not see our lives through the lens that Jesus wants us to see it through. What I realize is, this may be a little, let me get this out the way as well. I'm sorry, I'm brutally honest, that's just who I am. I'm saying it in love, but don't be upset with me. It's from the Holy Spirit, I hope. I think what's important is sometimes I hear that Christians divorce the word of God from the character of God. They come at somebody a certain way with a scripture, but that's not the heart that God had behind the scripture. You can't do one or the other. You have to have them both in tandem. To either, if you go either extreme, you're both wrong. If you go too far, just word, then you become a little legalistic. This is what the word says. This is what the word says. That is what the word says, and the word is true. But the heart that Jesus said with the words that he did and the relationship that he had with the people and made it a lot more digestible for them to hear. Or you can't go too far the other way. Grace, grace, grace. Too much grace and you realize that you're not actually adhering to the rules and the laws that God put for us. He came to fulfill the law, not to abolish it. I think it's important that we have the right spirit about us when we're talking to people, the right voice inflection, the right timing when we're talking to people, because Christ always pursued the relationship before the persecution. So this year, the way that we know that we can do this, we actually have already set ourselves up for success. We have core values which will allow us to know the methods and which we can get to know Jesus better. Passion Student Ministries, core values. We have a very simple and easy acronym that I say each and every single Wednesday: PREPT, prayer, relationships, evangelism, purity, discipleship. So I need you guys to do like I would tell my students on a Wednesday and repeat after me. Prayer, relationships, evangelism, purity, discipleship. One more time just to make sure we got it. Prayer, relationships, evangelism, purity, discipleship. Each and every single week we will be talking about these to make sure that we are prepped for the rest of the week. This will help make sure that we know how we can be closer to Christ. I've broken it down even more simple. Prayer, talking with God. Relationships, who you talk to and hang around. Evangelism, talking to people about Christ and what he means to you. Purity, keeping a standard that God wants for you. And discipleship, small group discussions to help us grow. What I realize is each and every single one of these, sometimes we want to get closer to Christ, not by having to go through this process. We want it like this. We want instant gratification. If you look at the definition, it is the desire or experience pleasure or fulfillment without delay. We want it right now. I need it right now. God, I want to be like you, but I want to do it right now. I don't want to have to go through anything. I don't want to have to struggle at all. I don't want to have to walk through the process. I want to be able to be like you right now. But we're talking about passion in the process. What does that mean? A process is a series of actions or steps taken in order to achieve a particular end. We have our end in mind, to be more like God, to be more like Jesus, to have our character and his character be the same. But you can't get it like this. You gotta walk it out. You gotta take a series of steps. It doesn't happen miraculously, little by little. See, I feel like when it says the most important goal is to be like Christ, it makes me think of Matthew 22, verse 36 through 40. And they said, Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest command. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commands. I wore this sweatshirt for a reason. The only way we know how to love God and love his people is going through a process to get closer to him. You can't really love somebody that you don't really know. You can have a feeling towards them, but until you really get to know them and have intimate relations with them, you don't really know if you love them, because they may have something that they fundamentally believe that you disagree with. That takes you getting to know somebody. That takes a conversation. So today we are going to be going through our core values. This will just be a preview for all of my passion students. We're going to be going and doing this a lot more in depth, a lot more scriptures based off of Jesus throughout the entirety of the year. But for Sunday morning, I figured I'd make it a little bit more broad so everybody has a few steps that they can use to get a little bit closer to Jesus. Is that okay, church? Is that okay, church? I know y'all can respond. I already had you play a game. Your hands went up and down. That means you guys are here and you guys are awake. I need a response. So is that okay, church? Okay, y'all sounding kind of like a youth ministry. I like it. Let's start with prayer. Talking with God. Pastor Gilbert hit the nail on the head. The scripture that I always go back to when I think about prayer, Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Then this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. It's important for us to realize this is a great standard that if you don't know how to pray, begin with this. And then begin to break it down in more depth. I encourage you to go to newcitychurch.net. You can watch last week's message if you missed it, because Pastor Gilbert breaks down prayer in such an eloquent and beautiful way. But jumping alongside of it, one other scripture that I would love to bring up is Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, which means every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. There was this song that I used to love, and if you know it, I encourage you to join in with me because my voice, not the best. And it goes, I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. I think what's important is for us to realize, does he call you friend? And are you actually his friend? Those are two slightly different things. It's kind of tough, but how often do you actually talk to him? My friends, I talk to very often. How often do you talk to him, or better yet, how often do you listen to him in the conversation? That's the one that I see. We can all talk, but then when it comes to a conversation with God, we're like, we're talking 1,000 words a minute and we're not even listening to what he has to say about it. God, I need your help with this. And he's like, okay, let me tell you. But God, I need this. Okay, let me tell you that. But God, and he's like, oh, you just wanted to vent. You know, there's those moments where we just do that. Where sometimes this happens with me and my wife. We'll start to have a conversation, and I'm like, I feel like this is what you, and she's like, wait, I don't actually want to hear what you have to say. I just wanted to get it off my chest. I just wanted to vent a little bit. I just wanted to say a bunch of stuff, which is not bad. But too often, I feel like that's the only thing we do with God. We just come to him trying to get stuff off of our chest, but we don't actually wait for him to give us a response. That can be really, really dangerous. How often do we actually make time to listen to what he has to say? There's two concepts, one from a new school and one from an old school, that just tell me if you've done both. Some of us may have, some of us may have not. How many people have ever written a letter. Raise your hand if you've ever written a letter. Okay, I see a lot of my young people like, a letter? I don't like to write my name. That's a lot of work. How many people have ever sent a text message? Okay, a lot of y'all like, okay, I do that one too, you know. I think, and it can be a little old school versus new school, but I think oftentimes that's what I see in our conversations with God. Sometimes we have text message prayers, which in and of itself is not necessarily bad. Because to me, going back to Philippians 4:6, but in everything, by prayer and petition, make your request known to God. You're always talking to him, just like you do in a text message conversation. All of my young people know that if you're texting somebody and it takes them a few minutes, you're like, bro, what is going on? I just text you. Why haven't you already responded? You want them to respond before you even finish the text message. That's what it feels like our conversations with God are. Sometimes we're a little impatient, and it feels a little off. But actually, the fact that you're always trying to have a conversation with him is a good thing. Asking him about everything that's going on in your life is a positive thing. But writing letters is positive as well. Sometimes your letter-writing prayers are the ones, the people who are willing to be long-suffering for a prayer. They're willing to wait no matter how long it takes for God to give them the answer. Because when you write a letter, you don't get an answer immediately. You write the letter, you send it off, they get it, they read it, they respond, they send it back. Several days at minimum in between, unless you're local, which, why are you writing a letter if you're local? Just go see them. But oftentimes, I feel like we lean one too far one way or one too far the other, when we really need to kind of have a balance of both. You do need to make sure that you're always in constant conversation with God, but you also need to be willing to wait and listen for a response. So both can be done well if you choose. Our next core value, relationship. Who you talk to and who you hang around. Let's go back to John 15:15. And it says, my commandment, well, we're actually going to start at 13, I apologize. My commandment is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command. Verse 15, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Do you realize that Christ had an inner circle of people? Christ had a group of people that he trusted. I encourage you to make sure that you have the same. Make sure that you have people that you love and that you trust that surround you, that can help you when you start to struggle a little bit. One thing that we are huge about in Passion Student Ministries is accountability. And typically that needs to look like someone who may be a little bit more spiritually mature than you, that you give authority to speak into your life. Whether you want to hear it or not, you know that they have your best interests at heart, so that's why you give them that type of authority in your life. And what's beneficial about that is sometimes we become so stuck in the middle of the situation that we're in that we don't have any context or perspective. When you have someone else beside you who may be able to see it from a different angle, they may be able to give you wisdom that you need. Really, that shows a little bit of a level of maturity, that you're willing to listen to somebody else, because it's scary. What if they say something that you disagree? What if they say something that hurts your feelings? And what I brought it up last time, but what I see oftentimes is our students are okay with the concept of accountability. But sometimes I talk to leaders and they're like, accountability? I apologize if my mic's a little off. If you need to come up here, oh wait, it's my beard. Sorry, is this better? My beard gets in the way, I apologize. It was nobody else, just my beard. But what I realize is sometimes I hear adults say, yeah, I got to make all these decisions by myself. That's not true. You do realize Jesus was an adult when he made all of his decisions. Thank you so much, Amari.
Testing. Ooh, I sound clear. Ooh, no beard in the way. That's fantastic. I think it's really important, and to be honest, it's low-key a message for another day, for us to understand the different types of relationships that you're supposed to be in. You're supposed to not just be in an accountability type of relationship, but you should be pouring into somebody and should be getting poured into from somebody. Can I be really honest with you guys? Really quickly, one thing that I would love as helping take the charge here at this campus, I would love for some adults to come right beside me. I don't have all the answers. Nobody on my team has all the answers. Sometimes the wisdom that you guys have may be exactly what we need. But like I said before, a lot of our students may not be as receptive if you don't have a relationship with them first. So sometimes what I hear is an adult came and said this to me on a Sunday morning. Someone said this to me. Why are they wearing that? Why are they doing this? And I'm like, did you go ask them? Did we see what was going on in their mind? Do you realize not everybody was taught everything? There's some things that I only know because somebody taught me. Actually, everything that I know is because somebody taught me. We're laughing, but sometimes I feel like the older generation doesn't want to teach us some of the stuff that we need to know. It's not that we're so disrespectful. We just have never been taught. And until we get taught, we can't make those right decisions. Someone told me one time I walked in here, don't wear a hat. I was like, I took it off because I was respectful, but they didn't actually tell me why. That actually doesn't help. Because I'm going to feel like you're just attacking me for being young instead of having a good heart about it. And because I know who you guys are, I try to take what you say, but they don't know you. So maybe come around a little bit. I encourage you. You're very welcome. None of us are better than anybody else. We're just the servants that God called. But you're a servant that he has called as well. So jumping back in, sorry, I had a little tangent. Let's jump right into the next step of the process. Evangelism. This one, honestly, is one of those steps that you kind of need to get. What feels like is you need to have all the other steps right before you can jump into the evangelism step. But that's not actually true. As long as you know a little bit about Jesus, it's kind of like when we used to do this book, the purple book. We did this purple book, and people were like, I don't even know everything about God. I don't know all of the theology. I don't know what a Leviathan is. What is that, Zach? I was like, it's okay. You don't have to know it all. You just need to be one step, one chapter further than somebody else. If you're in this room right now, I encourage you. You are one step or one little bit further than somebody else. So you can tell them about what you believe. Evangelism, all it is talking to people about Christ and what he means to you. You have a testimony. No matter what your life or situation is, you have a testimony. Sometimes it feels like, I didn't go through the darkness, the trap. You still have a testimony. God would never give you. The fact that you're saved is the fact that you have a testimony. Let's jump into Mark 16, 15 and 16. So we have a little bit of scripture to go along with it. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized, like we saw today, congratulations, Raymond. It's a wonderful occasion. I'm so glad that you got baptized. It is a blessing. Like, it really, really is. It gets me excited anytime I think about someone getting baptized. So thank you so much for inspiring me this morning. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. If we really believe that, then we will do whatever we have to go tell somebody about Jesus. When you know where they're going, if you know somebody who is not in here, who does not know God, if you really cared about them at all, you would go say something about Jesus to them. Because when you consider the alternative, we can't say that we love God and his people if we're not willing to share about God. The next step in our process, purity. Keeping a standard that God wants for you. Let's jump into 1 Peter 2, 21 and 22. 1 Peter 2, 21 and 22. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. The reason that I gave this definition, keeping a standard that God wants for you, is the Bible is a standard that we all can live by. But that does not mean he may not call you to something above that standard. So I like to equate it back to, even if we go into our fasting, God may call us all to fast, but he may give you something specific that you should fast. He may give you some specific length of time that you should fast. As we're going throughout this fast, I don't need to go ask you what you're fasting. I should be listening to the Holy Spirit, listening to what Jesus wants me to fast, and do what he's telling me to do individually. You only do that by having a personal, going back up, relationship with him. If you don't have conversations with him through prayer, if you don't have a personal relationship with him, then you're not going to really know how to follow the standard that he has for you. Now let's jump into the last one, discipleship. Small group discussions to grow. Honestly, a quick plug, this may look like you needing to come to our Wednesday night life nights. I honestly do believe that it's something beneficial about being around other believers and have an edifying conversation. Can I be honest with you guys really quickly? I'm not the smartest person in this room, not by a long stretch. There's sometimes Pastor Gilbert will preach and I'll leave and I'll be like, huh? Like, I know the word is good, but I'm still a little bit confused. You know what I do? I ask other people. It's something really beneficial when you have one-on-one conversations about something that Pastor Gilbert shared, that you may actually get something new or get fresh revelation from those conversations. God wants you to get fresh revelation. He does not want you to just have to listen to Pastor Gilbert to know what's going on in his kingdom, in his word, with you personally. But you know what also can help with that is being around other people who you can share conversations with. Like, that was my favorite thing about college, and I feel like it's very true for being a believer as well. My dad said when I went to college that, Zach, you will learn just as much outside of the classroom as you will inside of the classroom. I feel the same thing about being a Christian. You learn just as much, if not more, outside of these four walls than you will inside of these four walls. But that means you have to be having a conversation about what's going on in your life. You have to be real. And transparent, a lot of things that we don't like to do a lot of the time. Honestly, something that will help you mature as a Christian. I don't only want to mature as a Christian on Sunday mornings. That's like me going to the gym once a week and think I'm going to look like The Rock. It just does not work like that. But you know what I do? I go more than once a week. I set goals, I go with my friends, I find people who are more skilled than me to train me. I train practically every day. The reason I do that is, so at the beginning of this year, I decided to set out and do a couple of different obstacle course races. Last year, I did this thing called a Spartan race. It was wild, it was fun, it was something that was really challenging, and the only way that I was accomplishing it, you know what? Let me give you a better understanding of what the Spartan race is. If you could cue that video, that would be fantastic. Some of you guys may be like, I don't even know why anybody would want to do that. That does not look appealing at all. You know, one of the reasons I felt like God had me do that is because, honestly, it goes back to Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. If the worship team could go ahead and make their way up, I think it's important for us to realize the Christian lifestyle is a race. But can I be really honest with you? For a long time, we looked at it like it was just a normal race on a track. Running a lap by lap by lap by lap. It's not really true. There are so many different obstacles and things in your way to try to stop you from accomplishing what God wants for your life. It's not a traditional marathon. It's more like a Spartan race. Like I said, I ran that race. I struggled. It was tough. I multiple times realized I did not prepare correctly. And that's even more of a reason why I had to begin to love, to have passion about the process leading up to the race. If you don't love the process, then you won't be able to accomplish it. When I tell you that I have passion about every step, that is why I go to the gym multiple times a week. That is why I set goals for myself. That is why I go with friends, and I encourage anybody that is out there to do a Spartan race. No matter what your age is, no matter how old you are, you can do it, just like Christianity. When I tell you, so we were there at the Spartan race. There was a person with no arms doing the Spartan race. So we want to make an excuse like, you don't know about my knee. Huh? Zach, you don't know. I got a bunion on my left foot. My toe is a little jammed. Somebody else was telling me, it's like, do you realize, like, the person next to me when we started was like, this is my third Spartan race. I've finished each and every single one of them. It takes me about 3 times longer than anybody else, but I'm going to finish. I want to encourage somebody out there that the process leading up to the race, if you really begin to value and have passion in that process, let's actually break down what the word passion means. Passion, by definition, means strong and barely controllable emotion. Every step of the way, we have to be willing to get out of our comfort zone. We have to be willing to push ourselves. We have to be willing to look at these core values, because if you don't know, one of the most important things about accomplishing a Spartan race, about doing anything fitness-wise, is having a strong core. I want somebody out there to have a strong core for their Christian race. If you don't have a strong core, you know how much more difficult it will be? If you don't prepare correctly, you know how much more difficult it will be? If I'm really, trying to run this race and get to my end goal, which is to be more like Christ each and every single moment of each and every single day, this isn't a race that will end anytime soon. And it's not a race that will be easy by any stretch. But I have just enough crazy belief that you guys can run it with vigor. That you guys can run it and accomplish something great. And the only way you do that is you really value the process. So when you begin to go step by step by step by step, You may get tired, and life may not look as easy as it should. Things may be in your way. Things may not go the way that you anticipated. But step, because I got my core a little bit stronger, because I prayed a little bit more today than I did yesterday. By step, and the people who surround me are speaking life into my bones. By step, I speak evangelism to people around me so my faith begins to rise up. By step, the purity that I have, because the standard is not my own standard, but the standard that comes directly from Him. By step, the discipleship that I have, I may not feel like I'm always there. I may feel like I still got a ways to go, because I do. But that does not mean that I can't run this race. Somebody out there needs to run this race. But more importantly than that, what I love, what I find joy in, is for people to begin to understand that this process, that's sanctification. Earlier, we sang Touch of Heaven. I just want a touch of heaven. Just a little bit. I don't need a lot. Just need a touch of heaven. If I could just get a touch. God, if I could just get a touch, I can make it. The touch of heaven, that's your moment of salvation. That's the beginning of the race. But for you to get more like Him, you have to be sanctified. You have to begin to enjoy the process, step by step, step by step. It's not easy. Step, but you may stumble. The stumble does not mean you're out of the race. In fact, you know what? That obstacle that got in your way, next time, it'll be easier for you to accomplish. Multiple times when I did that Spartan race, there were several events that were exactly the same. The first time I did it, I was a little apprehensive. The second time I did it, I was a little bit more confident. The third time I did it, I was able to help somebody else over. First time I did it, I was a little apprehensive. Second time I did it, I was a little bit more confident. Third time I did it, my evangelism came out and I was able to help somebody else over. I don't think you understand. There's some things that only you can do. Spoiler alert, if you did not know. Sunday morning church, to be honest, we love it, but it's not for salvations. Someone's like, wait, you mean I'm supposed to be going sharing the gospel myself? Zach, you don't understand. You don't know how my walk with God is. Your walk with God may be a little tough right now, but that does not mean you cannot still run that race out that God has set for you. Don't be scared. You can still accomplish it. We have faith in you. And if you start to stumble a little bit and you don't know exactly what to say, that's why you have discipleship. That's why you have relationships. That's why you have a conversation with God and you listen. I love seeing your faces, but I want to see some new ones. I'm going to be really honest with you. I love seeing your faces, but I want to see some new ones. We don't have new ones unless we go out and run our race. I'm waiting for someone to be so bold that they're willing to run that race no matter what anybody else says, no matter how difficult it is, because it is not easy, but anything worth accomplishing will be a little difficult. Just like this Christian lifestyle. So as we begin this moment right before this altar call, I have two specific calls. The first one is, maybe you're like, Zach, I heard what you said today and I have not even started my race. It's okay. We can start today. If you would like to have a moment of salvation, what I would like to do is, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to encourage you to slip up your hand. We already saw that we can raise our hands. If we need a moment of salvation, because we don't, I see that hand. I see that hand. Allow this to be the moment where you really allow salvation to take place. Start your race today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow's not even promised. Let's start today, right now. And the second call is, we went through a few different steps of the process, our core values, things that we can all strengthen a little bit. If you know that you have one of these core values, whether it's prayer, maybe you don't talk enough to God, maybe you don't have enough good relationships, people that you trust to speak into your life, maybe you aren't as good as evangelism as you know you should be, maybe you're not living the standard that God wants for you with the purity, or maybe you know that you could grow a little bit in discipleship, have some small group discussions outside of a Sunday morning to grow a little bit. If you know any of those areas you struggle with, I encourage you to raise your hand as well. Let's be honest. I want you guys to run this race and run it well. You only do that if you strengthen your core. Don't start this race knowing that you're weak. And don't know that you're weak now and continue to be weak. I see that hand. What we're going to do is the prayer team is actually going to come forward. But really listen carefully to this prayer team. If you feel like you have one of these core values that you can grow in or that you need a little bit of prayer for, I'm a really big believer about being honest and transparent. If you need a little bit of prayer, let none of us be so holy that we don't get prayer when we know that we need it. So what I'm going to do is encourage everybody to stand. Media team, if you could throw that salvation prayer up. And if you could just follow, repeat after me, everybody in here, just to make sure that we're in solidarity. And also to make sure that as we go out and evangelize, this prayer is going to be extremely important for us. Something that we know that we can share with others around us. So repeat after me. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. I know that I am a sinner, and I repent for my sins. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. Today I have been made new. From this day forward, I will follow you. Amen. So what I want to do is if you raise your hand and you need to answer the call for salvation, I want to encourage you to come over to this side of the altar. And if you know that you have an area that you need prayer for to strengthen your core values, to strengthen the core that God wants you to have to accomplish this race, I want to encourage you to make your way up to the front. We're going to go into a time of worship, but don't wait for somebody else. Someone has to start the race. So I'm waiting to see who's going to start this race.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. To stay connected, follow us on Instagram or join us on Facebook. Thank you and have a blessed week.